Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Nagler's Never Right. It's halfway through training camp. We got our first preseason game coming up Thursday evening between the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm here. I'm your host, Aaron Nagler, on Nagler's Never Right here at PackersNews.com. Just wanted to take a brief kind of look back, if you will, over the first 2 weeks of camp, some of the major storylines, and see how they've progressed. I think one thing, obviously, that a lot of people are still talking about, that, you know, things that list fans' interest heading into camp, has probably definitely kind of still fans have maintained their interest in the topic of one Kevin King. Lots of buzz around this kid, especially today with Tom Silverstein putting him in his thumbs down category for his camp insider off of yesterday's practice, a long, grueling of 2.5 hour affair. And it was funny because I noticed that a lot of the aggregators, the fantasy football IDPers, kind of glommed on to Tom's report. And I just wanted to point something out in regards to, you know, Tom was absolutely correct in his assessment of Kevin King's play on the field, both kind of throughout camp and especially in yesterday's practice. But I always find it interesting how what starts as an accurate report then gets summarized and kind of, you know, overviewed by the aggregators, and then all of a sudden the complete meanings of what is being reported starts changing. And so a wider national audience gloms onto this stuff, and a narrative starts to form that then feeds into Packer fans, who of course not only consume our content, even though that's all you should be consuming, but then you guys go out and you read other blogs and you follow other people on Twitter, and you get information from other sources that are being informed by these aggregators. And now all of a sudden, the meaning of the reporting that we were doing originally has completely changed. And it was really kind of brought, and this is something I really kind of felt last year as well, my first year on the beat here in Green Bay. But like I say, it really kind of drew into kind of sharp relief this morning when I saw a blurb. I think it was a Roto-World blurb, possibly. And it was Kevin King, and it said, this is great, and this is my favorite bit, is the misidentification of Tom's paper right off at the top. According to the Green Bay Press Gazette's Tom Silverstein, Tom obviously writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Packers second-round cornerback Kevin King has, quote, now this is in quote, they're quoting here, struggled mightily, unquote, at training camp. And then their little blurb, that this is their added analysis, if you will. Per Silverstein, King has been getting beaten badly by pretty much any receiver that lines up opposite him, especially in one-on-one drills. Now, what's interesting is if you actually go back and you read what, Tom actually wrote, Tom writes that, yes, Kevin King is finding out how rough it can be as a cornerback in the NFL. And what he actually writes is, there are so many good receivers in the league, the rules favor them so heavily, the transition from college to the NFL can be brutal for a corner. Second-round pick Kevin King is finding out how rough it can be. Since camp started, he has struggled mightily in the one-on-one drills, and Tuesday was no different. You notice how, you know, this is a slight difference, but it's an important distinction. Kevin King has struggled mightily in the one-on-one drills, and Tuesday was no different. Not especially. Not has struggled mightily through, teamwork, drill work, any of the combo work that they do. One-on-ones. And yes, he has. There is zero doubt that he has struggled in that regard. But then to switch it over to the aggregator and have them say, you know, Kevin King has, quote, struggled mightily at training camp. Well, now you've generated a whole different story that, like I said, Packer fans obviously consume this stuff outside of the local coverage, and then they come back, and I've noticed in Pete Doherty's afternoon chat this morning, there's 3 or 4 questions about Kevin King, and how does he look, and is he okay, and et cetera, et cetera. And as Tom wrote in the piece, it's tough for rookie corners to come into the NFL. That was always going to be the case. The other inaccuracy that I loved was in their analysis portion, they write, Devon House and Quentin Rollins figured to get the nods after drafting King. With the first pick of the second round, Green Bay said it envisioned King as the week one starter. I'm going to need a link on that because I don't remember the Packers ever saying anything like that. I know they had talked about him coming in and competing. I know a lot of people, you know, made some educated guesses that that might be the case. But I don't ever remember the Packers saying that the plan, you know, was they were envisioning King starting week one. And I know this is minutia, and I know this is probably some inside baseball stuff that you guys, most of you probably don't care about. But you know what? It's my podcast, so I get to kind of gripe about whatever I want. And this drives me insane. You know, Tom Silverstein is a pro. He does, you know, some of the best beat work in the land. If you're going to take his stuff and you're going to, you know, disseminate it and aggregate it, be accurate. Beginning with the newspaper that he writes for, which is the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, not the Green Bay Press Gazette. Anyway, all right. Whew. Got that off my chest. But Kevin King, like I said, has been, he was obviously a very big-time person of interest heading into camp for obvious reasons, especially given the struggles the Packers had in the secondary last year. And he's going to continue to be a person of interest, especially to the fan base, looking to see how the Packers can fix a horrific pass defense, especially a third-down defense that struggled mightily in 2016. One of the other storylines I think I wanted to touch on a little bit in regards to the defense and the Nitro package that both now Ryan Wood kind of introed it a couple weeks ago, and then Pete Doherty, I thought, had a great column on it at PackersNews.com pretty much about the importance of it. I thought Ryan did a good job of getting down to the nuts and bolts of, you know, what it's about. And I thought Pete did a wonderful job of setting it up as far as how it kind of, the importance that it holds to this team's chances at to getting to the Super Bowl. And it's funny because, you know, the bugaboo, you know, the problem in Green Bay for a long time has been on the defensive side of the ball. That's no secret. I had spoken to a guy in the personnel group last night in Green Bay here, and he had even said at one point, he's like, yeah, you know, our defense isn't going to be great, so we got to score a lot of points. And I just thought it was kind of striking that a guy on, you know, paid by the Green Bay Packers on the personnel squad is like talking like that. I just thought that was kind of funny. But he's right. It's true. They are going to have to score a lot of points. And you know, as much as people want a hard-hitting, tenacious, insane, lights-out defense, you know, if they can just get the defense to be competent and even just maybe a little above competent, just have it respectable, then they've got a shot. They've got a real fighting chance. I mean, hell, they were a game within the Super Bowl last year with a defense that was a complete meltdown waiting to happen against the pass. So you look at the Nitro package, and I love the idea behind it. I love the idea of getting Morgan Burnett down in the box, using his speed, using his athleticism and explosiveness, especially sideline to sideline. It's something where they've really struggled. Obviously, the move was made putting Clay Matthews in the middle there, and that really changed their defense a couple years ago. But now Clay is back outside, and he's not the player that he once was. Getting Burnett down there, and then you got to think Josh Jones, obviously, is the kind of heir apparent there. That sets up very, very well for this defense. And I've had a couple people on Twitter, and I had an email or two, mention the worry for these people was that Morgan Burnett wouldn't be able to hold up against tight ends. And I got to tell you, he is going to be you can play this back to me later in the year. If this turns out not to be the case, I will take my lumps. I'll go on cold hard takes, whatever you want. But I'm here to tell you right now, Morgan Burnett played extremely well against tight ends last year, and he's doing a bang-up, lights-out job against Marty Bennett in training camp so far. Go back and watch the Seattle game, the job he did on Jimmy Graham when he was matched up with him. Go back and watch the times that he had to take on Jason Witten with Dallas. He did a very good job last year, and I don't think it gets talked about a whole lot. And he's picked up right where he left off in camp. His daily battles with Martellus Bennett have been fantastic to watch. And now, obviously, Bennett has won some, and Burnett has won some. But he has been there every step of the way. Even with the big size disadvantage that Bennett presents, Burnett has not let it overwhelm him. He's fought. He's contested every catch. It took Aaron Rodgers throwing a miracle throw. I remember one of their first days in pads, they had a 2-minute drill, and Burnett had thrown up, broken up two passes that Rodgers tried to fit into Bennett, and it took, with 2 seconds left, Rodgers rolling to his left, Bennett shook free in the end zone just for a second. He was kind of in between three defenders, including Burnett, and it took an amazing laser-like throw from Rodgers to fit it in for the touchdown. But, I mean, that's what it took. It took an Aaron Rodgers miracle to beat Burnett's coverage. So, you know, he has been very, very good. And I don't think, for all the stuff that gets written about the Nitro package and Burnett dropping down, and then, you know, having Bryce and HaHa on the back end, that's one of the least of their worries. I think he will match up quite well. And then, you know, obviously the obvious question, I think I've seen this in a couple different places. I think somebody asked it on Facebook Live. I think somebody asked it on Pete's chat earlier today, actually, in regards to the running game. That's where it gets in, you know, obviously if you're going to be playing a team that likes to load it up, likes to go heavy, go run a lot of power with a fullback, well, you're probably not going to employ Nitro as much. That's probably when you're going to see a little bit more Martinez and Ryan. But, you know, with teams spreading it out so much and that being kind of so prevalent in the NFL, having Nitro as kind of your default, which I think it will probably end up becoming, makes a lot of sense. But, you can expect that when they play the Cowboys of the world who have big mauling offensive lines, you probably will see a little bit more base, a little less Nitro. But for the most part, I think you're going to be seeing a good, healthy dose of this new Nitro package. And it will be interesting to see how it plays out along the outsides. I know Kevin King had been running with the ones, but then he got injured. And then, you know, Rollins has been bouncing outside with House on the opposite side, and then House got injured. So, you know, now they've got Kevin King back out there, and now he's back from injury. They've got Randall running in the slot. They're kind of mixing and matching, you know. Rollins had been in the slot the first week, and now, you know, Randall's been there quite a little bit. And I think they'll continue to mix and match throughout the preseason. Because, look, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about in regards to the defense in general. And anyone who saw my Facebook Live on after Tuesday's practice will know what I'm about to talk about here. That's judging the defense. And, you know, the stuff you can see in practice, like what we're talking about here with coverage and one-on-ones and things like that, that's, you know, that's very important. It's all information for you to store away. But as far as, like, the defense as a whole, and I get so many questions of how does the defense look, it's really, really hard to get any kind of gauge on how a defense looks in an NFL training camp where, you know, the defenders are asked to do so much, but essentially they're asked to make their initial sudden move and then they go and pursue the football. But if any pass rusher gets even an inkling of beating his man, he has to let up. You know, he's not allowed to even breathe on the quarterback. And then, you know, wide receivers, defensive backs, when they try to break up a pass, if they can't, they're not safeties come up and they're not allowed to even, you know, think about hitting the wide receiver to try and dislodge the ball. On the running plays, you can get a kind of a sense along the defensive line of who's getting penetration and who's getting off blocks. But even then, they're usually trying to get a lot of times, especially if they're two-gapping, which they don't do a ton of, but when they are, you know, when they disengage, that's pretty much it. They're not allowed to go after the ball carrier. Now, some practices have been a little more physical than others. That night inside the Hudson Center last week, actually Tuesday's was pretty good for this. There have been practices where they've been a little more spirited, where they've really kind of attacked the football. Like, they're still not allowed to wrap up or bring a guy to the ground. That would never happen in today's environment. But so they've been a little more aggressive. But essentially, you're asking guys to be, you know, 100 miles an hour and then turn it off on a dime. And that's pretty much every snap of quote-unquote live action in an NFL practice. So you can't really get any kind of idea of what a defense is looking like until we get them into preseason games, which, funnily enough, first one is coming up Thursday night, tomorrow night as I record this. And it's interesting because I know Doug Peterson, obviously the head coach of the Eagles, was with the Packers for a long time as a backup quarterback. He had that hilarious quote earlier this offseason where he said the Eagles were probably as or more talented than the 96 Packers squad. That's a howler. I think it'll be a good test for this team having Carson Wentz come in. They've got, you know, a couple new weapons there in Philly, and Alshon Jeffrey, although I'm not entirely sure if he'll play because I know he started camp injured. What a shock, I know. But I'm very interested to see, flipping up, we've talked a lot about the defense, but I'm very interested to see kind of flipping it around, how the quarterbacks operate in Thursday night's game. Obviously, I highly doubt Aaron Rodgers is going to play. Mike McCarthy, as always, playing coy about it, but we all know he's not going to play. We saw Brett Hundley take all the starter reps in practice this week. So you got to think Rodgers will be riding the bench. That'll give Hundley a good amount of time to kind of, kick it into gear. And I have to say about Hundley, so far in camp, he has followed very much the same trajectory that he showed his rookie year, where that first week was rough. In all offseason, I kind of just held my opinion at bay, so to speak, because I thought, okay, it's just, they're in shorts and it doesn't mean much and working with different combinations, new people, et cetera. And I thought, okay, we get to training camp, get the pads on, and he was still looking tentative, throwing late, holding the ball. There were a number of receptions where, I call them redshirt receptions. I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about this, where the only reason they're a reception is because he's got a red jersey on. He would have been sacked in the normal run of play. He had a ton of those. So, but then you get to, what was it? I think it was the night in the Hudson Center where all of a sudden it started to kind of click, which I think was Thursday night? And all of a sudden, he seems in better command. He's a little more confident in his reads, getting the ball out in rhythm, which I think it appears is extremely important for Hundley. And then yesterday at practice was, I thought, one of his best, simply from the aspect of commanding the line of scrimmage, getting the snap of the ball, getting to the top of his drop, and knowing where he wants to go with the football, seeing it and letting it loose, rather than getting back there and then holding and kind of hemming and hawing and trying to make a decision. He knew where he wanted to go. He knew where his first read was. He was decisive, and he got there. And, obviously he didn't force anything. He would run if he needed to, but it was markedly different, markedly better than what we saw the first week of practice. And then you get to Joe Callahan, who actually got some reps with the first team yesterday. And that's obvious that, you got to think that they'll probably have Hundley out there for a quarter or so, and then maybe even two first half, and then they'll probably get Callahan some work with the ones, with whatever combination of ones are out there, because I don't think guys like Jordy Nelson are going to play much. I don't think Marty Bennett's going to play much, if at all. But, Callahan has looked really solid and in very good command of the offense. And then you look at Taysom Hill, and he's actually looked much better in the last two practices, and it's so hard for him to kind of to get a read on him simply because he doesn't get many reps. He got more yesterday, obviously in anticipation of his playing more on Thursday night, and he looked good. He had a couple really nice throws. He had an excellent throw up the right sideline, kind of in a hole in the zone, perfectly placed underneath the safety, over top of the cornerback. He has to throw it high to get it over that corner, though, and Michael Clark let it go right through his hands. So, that's some of the stuff you deal with as a backup. You're dealing with guys who, they're struggling to make the squad just like you, and they're going to make mistakes. And the best thing you can do is bounce back from it and, keep making plays, which I think Taysom Hill has done a good job of these last 2 days. But those are the things I'll really be kind of keying on. Obviously, there's lots of other stuff to watch, lots of other matchups, and we'll cover it all at PackersNews.com. But those are the things that are really kind of going to draw my eye tomorrow night. And with that, I'm gonna shuffle off here, and I hope you guys keep listening, keep downloading. Like I always say, it's incredible to me that you do. Thank you so much. And if you're so inclined, please leave a review on iTunes. It means a whole heck of a lot to me. And make sure you're checking out all our stuff at PackersNews.com. We'll have all sorts of stuff from the preseason game, everything that comes out of it. And then we'll get you ready for week two of the preseason and the wrapping up of camp. In the meantime, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for visiting and listening and downloading. And talk to you next week.